From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in July in Highland Park at a rally with a special theme, Black Kids Matter. Kids and many adults showed up to celebrate the themes of diversity and inclusion at all ages. And later this hour, you're going to hear from a couple of the kids who attended. One of them told me it felt like a family cookout, even though he didn't know most of the people there. It just felt familiar, comfortable, celebratory. And he was moved by how many white kids showed up to show love and support. In some ways, we can learn so much from kids. They're not so burdened by politics or personal strife. They want to love and be loved. They want friends who will play and interact and care for them. As they grow older, the complicating factors of life will make those simple desires not so simple. But for now, their blunt articulation of what they want is kind of a beacon for us. And the next Black Kids Matter event is tomorrow at Harris Whalen Park. We'll tell you about it coming up, and you're going to hear the voices of some of the kids. But first, let me welcome our guests for the hour. Nicolette Ferguson is one of the rally organizers with us on the line. Hi, Nicolette.
Hello. Thank you, Evan, for inviting us here today.
You got it. It's great to have you. Nice to have Kristen Turgeon as well, one of the rally organizers. Hi, Kristen.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Aaliyah Katwana is one of the organizers as well. Welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Hi.
And Melody Walgren is here. Melody is also a rally organizer. Melody, thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Absolutely. We're glad to be here.
Well, so let's just, before we hear from the kids, and I want to tell listeners, I think what you're going to hear from the kids is pretty extraordinary. Before we do that, I want to just ask all of the rally organizers how this came together. I'm just going to go down the list I have here and almost do it alphabetically. So, Nicolette, you're first. How did this come together back in July? Tell me about that.
Okay. So, first, I just want to thank you for having us on here, but I just want to take a moment to pause and remember that this is 9/11, and let's just reflect on the lives lost on this day 19 years ago. And with that said, today in 2020, we are faced with the lives of many of our Black and brown community members being murdered in the streets. This rally is an event for our kids to support our Black kids in the community of Penfield. I came into this group of these wonderful moms that have students in the Penfield Central School District as I looked around and just questioned who was supporting my two Black sons. And it all just came about where I started writing letters to the school principals. And I said, it's nice to see a student body that is diverse. However, as I look through the faculty and administration, I don't see that diversity. So where is the support for my two Black boys as we go through this pandemic of racism within this pandemic of COVID-19? So, you know, one thing led to another. I was on a panel meeting with Superintendent Dr. Putnam and several other principals in the Penfield Central School District. And it's on record that I was there, and, you know, email was sent out that there is a need for diversity in the faculty, staff, and administration of the Penfield Central School District, all six schools. I did not find one Black person anywhere out of 477 on staff. The curriculum, I feel, needs to reflect and educate all of American history, including the contributions of African Americans, and not just in February for Black History Month. We need culturally responsive training for faculty, staff, and administrators that is not optional, and it's led by people of color. These were 3 points of issues that was discussed with our superintendent of Penfield, and I hope that this will happen at some point soon. And as far as I know, I am going to hold him accountable for these steps and these demands that is needed in our community, especially at this time when the black and brown community needs our support.
Can I follow up on one point there, Nicolette, before we get into the rallies themselves here? The point that Nicolette is making about staffing. Listeners may or may not remember that back in 2016, the Connection staff, we spent the year collecting data from all public school districts K-12 in Monroe County, along with many other districts surrounding, but we focused mostly on Monroe County. And it turned out there were 4 school districts out of 19 that had 0 African-American teachers K-12. And these districts had hundreds of teachers, 0. So you'd have districts with 300 teachers, 0 black teachers. 350 teachers, 0 black teachers. There were 4 other districts that had 1. And the district that had the most in terms of per capita black teachers was Rush Henrietta, that had like 9 on the entire K-12 level. It was gobsmacking for a lot of listeners who probably thought it was there were disparities, but didn't realize just how wide that gap was in terms of just seeing basic representation. Next year, 2021, we're going to follow up that reporting, and we're going to see what's changed. But it sounds like, just from Nicolette's work ahead of us here, that at least in one district in Penfield, nothing is the answer. I mean, I don't mean to be unkind here, but when we talked about it in 2016, Nicolette, districts were telling us what they're telling you. We care. We're going to change our practices. We're going to get more aggressive. We're going to make this happen. I don't know that it's happening. I just want to let our listeners know this is not unique to Penfield, but go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I concur. And this event tomorrow is to support the black kids that are here in this community and in Rochester and in Webster and in Brighton. You know, this is about a community that we need to stand behind and rally that Black Lives Matter, especially at this time. So we want to get the kids involved. We want to hear them speak and let them know that they too can stand up and speak out.
The event is tomorrow, 10 to noon, at Harris Wayland Park. Where is that, Nicolette?
That is in Penfield. Kristen, you can elaborate a little bit more.
Go ahead, Kristen Turgeon.
It's off 441. It's near the Harris Hill Elementary School and kind of across from that big Wegmans Plaza. So if you're just rolling through Penfield, you kind of shouldn't be able to miss us.
All right. So from 10 to noon. So I've got you next then, Kristen. We might as well talk about how you see what happened in July and what's going to happen tomorrow. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I have been taking my kids to other protests, rallies, but when I saw the event that the wonderful ladies, and I need to give them a shout out, Kelly Reagan, Jessica Laporte, Chloe Johnson, Crystal Nicole Brown, Savannah Proctor, and Claire LaBrosa, they saw the need, right, for our kiddos to be able to be a part of something that is to their level, right? And not, my kids would go to the other things and they would be like, what did they say? Which is fine. It's just that it didn't feel like it was accessible to them. So when we were there, they had sign making and they taught them some protest chants and they did story time. And of course they had snacks, which is everyone's favorite thing. And then there was a short march, right? Like we weren't walking 4 miles downtown. And during the march, there was a stopping point, and the megaphone was given to black children who wanted to just speak their mind in that moment. And so they had the floor, and that's what they need. So they were able to say whatever they were thinking about, which, you know, Black Kids Matter or my skin color is not a crime. I mean, they were just so eloquent and lovely. And my kids were like, oh, this is so much better. This is so much better, Mom. And they're like, okay, when's the next one? So one of my friends that was with us went over and asked the organizers, and they're like, you know what? This is actually a lot of work. We have nothing planned right now. So I had to go back and tell my kids, and they looked at me and they're like, oh, okay, so could you just plan one? And I said, I don't know how. And they were like, duh, just go ask the people that did it. I mean, yeah, okay, I'll do that. So then I did. Like, we just called them, and Savannah gave us their blueprint, which I think was so wonderful and helpful. She met with us. We did like a Zoom call. She talked us through everything. And then they just were so kind and handed us what they had done. And so they did the heavy lifting. We just put in all of our stuff for our area and everything. And so we are so grateful for all their help.
You're going to hear in the interview coming up with WD in particular, he talks about seeing a lot of white kids there. How important is it, Kristen, that this not just be black kids and black parents?
Oh, my goodness. I think that's like our whole point, right? Like, I can take my kids to a rally somewhere where there is a more diverse group of people, but the people in our community are suffering as well, and they're suffering because they feel like they have to go it alone in a lot of ways. And so the more that we stand up and say, you know what, like the definition of privilege, right, is when you think something's not a problem because it doesn't directly affect you. So it's a whole different thing, right? Like, so white people could choose to be like, oh, it's not my problem, and live here in the suburbs and be like, oh, that only happens down in the city. But that's not okay. And I think what's so beautiful about the last several months is that people all over are saying, we're done. Like, we're just done. It's 2020. I can't believe this is still happening. And it doesn't matter how you grew up or your background or whatever, like, it's time to stand up and do something. So to me, it's that force, just like our group. Our group is like such a diverse group, and that's what's made it so amazing.
Well, let me bring in Aaliyah to kind of get some thoughts. Aaliyah and Melody as well. Aaliyah, why don't you tell me how you see not only the event from July, but what's planned for tomorrow and the value to the community?
The value to the community, and specifically to the kids, is to affirm their worth and their part in the community, that they matter. That their voices matter, and that we support them. That we have a lot of people signed up who are interested or are attending, and it's very exciting. And we need that support. We need that affirmation, especially right now, when they are seeing and hearing so much that can contradict that affirmation.
Yeah, I remember a conversation on this program a couple of years ago with an author who was talking about the fact that he said, you know, as a black man with black kids, I don't have the choice of not talking to them about what's going on in the news and what's going on in their world. You know, they're going to feel it, they'll experience it, and they're going to hear about it eventually. And he essentially was making the point that if you're a white family, you know, to some degree, especially if you're in a suburb, you can try to kind of shield your family from it and kind of live as if this doesn't exist. And unfortunately, in his view, a lot of families do that. Do you see it that way?
It's a privilege, right? That's white privilege, whereby you sit on the sidelines and pretend like everything is okay. And I get that everybody is struggling right now. We're in a pandemic, and everybody has some sort of struggle. But to ignore and or pretend as if other people aren't harmed or injured by racism or all the other images that we're seeing on in the media is negligent. It's just, you know, like, it's looking out for your fellow citizen. If you do not participate, if you do not pay attention and speak up, you're perpetuating the problem, basically. And so in sitting in your privilege and sitting at home, and if you're sitting at home, but actually talking to your children about it, being honest about what is what, matters, right? It matters in that you're giving voice to the problems that exist and to other people's pain. And when that is ignored, the problem is perpetuated.
Let me ask Melody to weigh in on that same subject. Melody, how do you see it?
Yeah, I think, you know, I got involved, you know, Kristen and I, we've taken our families to these protests. And like she said, you know, we were we've had personal conversations and talking about how to get our children involved and how to have these conversations with them in ways that they can understand, but in very honest, direct ways, because we feel like that's important and that's something we value and we want to pass that on to our children. And this, we're hoping, is, I think a lot of people are wondering how to have these conversations, and I think a lot of white parents, hopefully, are starting to think about how to have these conversations within their families, with their children. And I'm hoping that this event will be a starting point for that for some people, where, you know, you can use stories and you can use events like this to educate our children in ways that I don't think are happening in the schools. And then also to give them the confidence and the space to feel like they can speak up for what's important to them and for their friends and for the people that they see around them and be confident in doing that. And that's what we really want. I think also what's been really profound for me is in finding this group of people, you know, I, like Nicolette, was struggling with, you know, my children are about to enter schools and looking at that. I'm multiracial. I identify as Asian and had some negative school experiences growing up and didn't want that for my kids, but also recognize that my kids are more white passing. And I certainly didn't want them to be perpetrators of hurt for other folks. And I wanted them to learn to be allies. And I, you know, had conversations and sought out some folks, sought out Nicolette's group and got involved. And it's just been really, it's brought in many ways. There's been so many dark days and so many difficult conversations. This group has really been a source of optimism for me that we can come together, that we can work together, collaborate and support each other to have these difficult conversations and to empower our kids to carry this work forward.
Well, let's listen to the words of some of the kids. First, we're going to hear W.D. Ferguson, 11 years old. And I think W.D.'s words are, you'll hear me tell him. I mean, I was really, really struck by how wise he was. So this is my conversation. By the way, he's in school, so we pre-recorded this one with W.D.
Well, it was a lot. Like, it was one of the first rallies I've ever been to. It's definitely not going to be my last, but it was the first rally I've ever went to, and it was just an all-around great experience seeing all the people who came out to support the rally and the people who helped organize the rally. And it was a great place otherwise. There were a lot of opportunities for people to come out and show what they had. Like, there was a dance class in the beginning, and people were selling shirts and stuff, and photographers were there.
Sounds very celebratory.
Yep.
If there's one picture that comes to your mind first when you think of that rally, what comes to your mind?
Probably, like, a family cookout. Like, it was a very peaceful place, even though there wasn't any food. By saying family cookout, I mean, like, it's a very familiar place, even though I've never been there. And it feels like a place, and it is a place where everyone's very welcoming, and there's no judgment. It's just where you can be yourself.
Oh, my gosh. What a great description, WD. That's awesome. And I totally get what you're saying about a family cookout. I mean, that is an amazingly vivid description. And so I love that theme of it there. What was the diversity like there? What was sort of the crowd made up of?
There was a big diversity in there, more than I thought there would be. Like, of course, there were black people there, but there were, like, still more than I expected, more white people than I expected to be there.
How'd that make, like, you feel?
It made me feel good. It was very wholesome. Like, I wasn't expecting as many people to support it, but it was a lot bigger and a lot better than it was expecting.
WD, do you think most white kids your age understand in any real way what injustice is and how it feels?
Most of them will understand what it is. Not all of them have known what it feels like, but I wouldn't say that none of them, they know what they're talking about, if they're gonna, most of them know what they're talking about if it came up about black injustice or anything like that.
No, that's good to hear. Do you think most white people care about black suffering and inequality?
I do think a lot of people care about it. It's just not everyone's going out there and showing that they would like to be in it. It's just like they have a fear of going out. Like, it's not a bad thing if you have a fear of it. It's just a lot more, you would tell a lot more people want to go out there, but they just can't.
Okay, I hear you. You know, you're 11 years old, and we're going to wrap this up in a minute, and I know some of this stuff is heavy, but you are one heck of an impressive thinker. And so I want to ask you, WD, if right now, do you feel good about this country's future? Do you feel good about what life's going to be like for you when you're an adult? How do you feel about that?
Well, like any person, I'm worried about all the climate stuff and global warming and all that. But then I'm also worried about how kids who grow up with parents who don't really care about black injustice or anything like that, how what they're going to grow up and what they're going to be like once they're older.
Do you think life as an adult in this country is going to be good for you? Are you looking forward to it?
Personally, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. There's a lot of aspects of it that I'm not looking forward to.
Like what? Like what?
Taxes. And...
Okay, I hear you. It's not as bad as they tell you.
And just all about finding a job, because there's been a lot of injustice with like getting paid and finding jobs that are actually good.
Yeah, I hear you. There's a lot that's going to change though between now and the time you're an adult, and I just want to thank you. I mean, I don't want to like get too mushy or whatever, but talking to kids is, I think it should inspire adults who sometimes lose sight of what we should be trying to do here. Sometimes we overcomplicate things, I think. So thank you. Thanks for sharing your thoughts. I'll close with this now. When you think about school, when you think about where you go to school and the way we expect teachers to talk to kids, do you think teachers and schools should be talking more about issues of social justice or less?
More, because as a student of public schools, I know what it's like. And I also think they should be teaching more. I mean, I think they should be teaching more about it, because we already have a lot about black history, but we don't really have all of it. Like, we have slavery, and we cover all of that. But I think it would be better if we covered more, like, of the social injustices right now, so then kids would get it. So then other kids would realize that if they didn't already know, they'd realize how bad and how common it really is in the real world.
I got you. Hey, good luck to you, WD.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing your thoughts. You are a wise young man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That is future president WD Ferguson. Nicolette, he's 11, huh?
He is.
I mean, let me say something that is not meant to be patronizing. I hope you are very proud of him.
I am extremely proud. I can't tell you how much it warms my heart. And he's why I do what I do. It's for them. It's for the kids. We have to create a better world for our kids to grow up. As parents, I know everybody wants better for their kids, right? And as my mentor, and I was so privileged to meet the great poet Maya Angelou, she says, we do the best we can until we know better. But when we know better, we have to do better, right? I'm doing better for my kids.
There's a few things that he said there that I just want to explore with you a little bit. He said he does think that white people care, but sometimes they fear going out and showing it. How did that hit you when you heard him say that, yeah, generally he does think white people care, but he thinks sometimes they hold back?
Yeah, because we need them to step up right now. We are, as a Black community, we're out there. You see us protesting all around the world, not just here in Rochester, not just in Seattle, not just in Kenosha, not just in Kentucky, all around the world, Brazil, Paris, you name it. So we need everyone to show up and show out and support for a better world, an inclusive world, a diverse world, because that's what it is. And I have been around the world, so I know what I speak. So when I come home and I don't see that, that's a problem.
He talked about needing to see or wanting to see schools focus even more on that. You know, schools, and this has been pretty well documented in recent years, schools in the suburbs here, yes, they will do Black History Month, but it's sometimes, you know, pretty surface level. And I wonder how you see that, Nicolette.
I am an educator as well, and I know through my classes, and of course my platform is dance, right? But through the forum of dance, I teach leadership, I teach confidence, I teach perseverance, and I teach failure as well, because the only way for you to grow is to make mistakes. And then you fall down, you get up, and you correct those mistakes, right? And discipline, do it over and over until you get it right. And if at first you don't succeed, you keep going. As an educator, just telling my kids that is not going to do anything. I have to show them with my actions, right? The kids are watching. So I do this because they are watching me. So when I tell them that I not only am saying this to you, but I'm going to back up my words with my actions, because as I think, actions speak way louder than words.
His characterization of the July rally as having felt like a family cookout, I thought that was extraordinary. Here's an 11-year-old, and he's wise enough to describe it that way. And then he says, well, it's not like we knew everybody. It just felt good. It felt wholesome. It felt like family. How did that feel hearing your son describe it that way, Nicolette?
It was heartwarming. Again, we're from the Caribbean. I'm Jamaican. So, you know, we have a big family. And we honor and respect our elders, and we celebrate our lives, our culture, in the midst of everything. You know, that is our experience. There's always celebration and joy and perseverance and confidence. And so he knows what that feels like. And to be a part of that rally, and I really want to thank Aaliyah, because she really said, you know, come on out. And I ventured out with WD for that rally. But, you know, so he knows that feeling. So to go out there and for him to feel that among people that we did not know or he did not know is like, yeah, this is a right thing to do, and showing support for people that we don't know is important. Standing up and speaking out on behalf of people who are not necessarily blood family, but we are connected because we are all humans and we all live and want to be better and just, you know, really celebrate each other and uplift each other. So that was heartwarming, and I'm really proud of WD, and I'm thankful that he's been listening to his dad and I, because, again, I cannot do this by myself. You know, my husband has been extremely pivotal in the raising and uplifting of our two sons, and I must acknowledge Bill Ferguson.
Well, we know that name. And
yes,
we do. It's a wonderful family, and that was great stuff from WD. And Aaliyah, you know, hearing Nicolette say how grateful she is to you for kind of giving the nudge, what did you think hearing WD describe the July rally?
It warmed my heart too, because I've known WD for many years now, since he was tiny, and it's so amazing. To see him grow up and come into his own, we're on a Zoom, like we're watching each other on the Zoom call, And it's like, it's emotional too, like to see the reactions of the other mom when they were listening to WD as well. And I almost teared up myself. It's just, he's a really great kid. I love that he can see the world the way he does. I love seeing the world through the eyes of a child. It's so unique and beautiful and unfiltered, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Listeners, you're hearing Nicolette, Kristen, Aaliyah, Melody are all organizers of the Black Kids Matter rally. There was one in July, and there is another tomorrow. That's at Harris Whalen Park in Penfield. It's 10 to noon. Family-friendly, socially distanced, masks are required. Kids 12 and under, but really all are welcome. And you heard WD describe the rally from July, and these parents are talking about what's coming up tomorrow. After our only break of the hour, you're going to hear a 7-year-old describe his recollections from July, and we're going to talk more about the themes that that are going to be present tomorrow and the themes that these parents and community members hope are present in the minds of all of our kids. That's coming up here on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Monday on the next Connections, we begin our series of conversations with candidates for state office, New York State Senate on Monday. You're also going to be hearing from candidates for New York State Assembly coming up. We're going to have a chance to sit down virtually, of course, or over the phone with candidates for a lot of different offices. We're less than 2 months to the elections, and you will have a chance to hear them at length starting Monday on Connections. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. I was so wrapped up in listening to WD's story that I missed the fact that there was a phone caller on line one, so I'm going to take him now. Hi, Bill. How are you?
How are you doing, Evan?
I am great, sir. How are you?
I am great. I just want to say that I'm so proud of the ladies and the work that they're doing to bring awareness and equality and inclusiveness to Rochester and to Penfield and to our area of concerns. And I mostly wanted to say how proud I am about WD and the way he described his life. And it's sort of, WD's my son, Nicolette's my wife. It lets me know that we're doing things the right way and that we can keep moving forward like this. And thank you, Evan, for everything that you're doing to keep the conversation going, because we have a long road ahead of us.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be easy, and it's going to take everybody talking about it and everybody working hard to come to a place where we can all move forward together.
Well, can I just say one thing before? Let me just say one thing, Bill, before I let you go. You know,
go ahead.
So I have an 8-year-old son, and literally my goal as a parent is just to raise a good person. I mean, I know it sounds sort of, vague, but I don't have an idea in mind for what I hope he does as a job. I think we get too obsessed sometimes with careers. I want him to be a good person. And when I hear the kids like the kids that we're hearing on the show today, I think, boy, do I hope my son sounds like that when he's talking about these difficult and important issues, because I am so proud of these kids, and I know you are too. But I want you to know, I mean, these are it is massive to hear these kind of the voices of these kids, because they are just so loving, and they're thoughtful, and I just want to say, as a parent, I admire you so much. That's all I want to say about that.
Well, thank you, Evan. I have no doubt that based on who you are and what you do, and let this not just be a pat each other on the back thing, but I know all of our kids and the majority of the kids that are dealing with the pandemic and the social strife and climate control now, all of them are thinking about it. We just, as parents, have to realize that they have their own mind about it, and we need to listen.
Beautiful. Thank you, Bill. I know we'll talk soon. Thank you, Bill.
Definitely.
You guys are all going to turn me into a pile of tears this hour. It's really remarkable. And we're going to hear from a 7-year-old now. I want to bring the voice of Keegan Turgeon, 7 years old. And again, 11 and 7 are very different ages, but let's just listen to Keegan's description of what he remembers from the July Black Kids Matter rally. Well, Keegan, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good.
Hey, so I'm glad to talk to you about your experience in July when you went to the first Black Kids Matter rally. Can you tell me what you remember from it? What was it like?
Make signs, listen to a story, and marched.
And you marched. Yeah, so when you hear Black Kids Matter or Black Lives Matter, what does that mean to you, Keegan?
Black people matter just like white people, just as much as white people matter.
7 years old, and Kristen Churgens is mother. Kristen, I'm really grateful that you facilitated that conversation with Keegan. You know, 7 is a delicate age, and I remember Kristen talking to, when my son was like 2, I talked to a friend of mine who had daughters who were 6 and 8, and she said, you know, 6 is supposed to be the age of empathy, and as a white mom, 6 is the age that I really sat down and was like, you need to know some things. And she said she sat with her daughter and she cried and it was not easy, but she felt it's important to be upfront with kids that we're going to build a great life for you, we hope, but there's also been a lot of hurt and there's a lot of people who've been hurt and we've got a responsibility. And I thought, wow, that's big, but that's admirable. Well, Keegan is 7 now and he is, you know, obviously starting to really kind of get it. Tell me your thoughts about your role in raising him and thinking about all of those issues.
So it's always been very present with my kids. We have 4, so Keegan's one of my middles. And as far as the people who they're around, who they have been exposed to, they see people that are not just white. And so it's really easy, I think, to have those conversations for us, because sometimes it just naturally happens when our families are getting together. You know, we just start talking about this stuff. So it's a easy segue. And because they already have these really important relationships with people, it's easy when we sit down and we read these books or we are talking about what's happening in the world, we can relate it to their friends, right? We can call them by name and we can say, hey, how would you feel if Ezra or Preston or Connor were treated differently just because of the color of their skin? And so I think that's a huge piece, right? When Nicolette says, like, look around you and see who you're with, like, that's really important. Like, who are the people that are coming over on Saturday night for a cookout? Like, do they all look like you? And if they do, that's kind of a problem. And so I think there are so many amazing books, and we're highlighting a lot of them on Saturday morning, but there's so many good books that just lend themselves to this conversation. So it's not, you don't have to do the hard work of figuring out what you'll say and how you'll say it. These conversations, they're so intuitive, right? They get it. You start reading a book and then there's questions and you answer them and you sit with them, and some of them are uncomfortable. And a lot of stuff right now is really uncomfortable, right? Because we have these two really huge things happening at once, this pandemic of racism that is always been there. I don't mean to say that it hasn't. I just think when you can watch the things and hear the things that you're seeing and hearing right now in the midst of all this other stuff, there you can't stick your head under a pillow mm-hmm. and just say, fine, we live over here.
Well, so let me read a brief email to you, and I think this will be a good chance for you to make the case for why you hope a lot of people come out tomorrow at Harris Wayland Park in Penfield from 10 to noon for the Black Kids Matter rally. So kids, families, showing support of all backgrounds. But Mike emails to say, Evan, it seems like too much is put on kids. Sometimes we have to just let kids be kids. Okay, so that's from Mike. Kristen, what would you say to Mike?
A lot of things.
I imagine.
Yeah. But I also, like, I feel like all of these wonderful ladies can speak the same thing.
I'd love for you all to address that, but I'll start with you, Kristen. Go ahead.
No, No. Like, this is the time, right? Like, I'm not asking my kids to sign petitions or go and present in front of the school board about one. And I'm not asking them to do that piece, right? That comes later. But what I am asking them to do is be a part, right? If they notice something that's not right, you stand up for it. You do the right thing. Like, you have to be aware of what's around you, and you can't just pretend it doesn't exist. And that's like, we are raising decent human beings. Like, that's really, that it's true, right? Like, that's our baseline here, but this is where it starts. I'm not asking them to, you know, deal with police and pepper spray. That's of course unreasonable, but having some recognition of our actual American history and being able to see people that don't look like them, that's our job.
Melody, how do you see it?
I feel very similar, obviously, being a part of this. But I think kids see things. They hear things. I'm always surprised. I have mine are 5 and 3, but they say things all the time. And I think, oh, you picked up on that? Kids pick up on things. I think they see so much more, and we can underestimate them. So to say, you know, that this is too serious for them or too beyond them, I think underestimates them in that way. And I agree with Kristen that, you know, some protests are not appropriate for kids, right? Like, being out, you know, at 10 o'clock at night on the front lines isn't probably where I'm going to take my 3-year-old. But that's why we created this. We wanted this to be in a format that would be accessible to them, that they could understand it. We also want this to be a celebratory event. We want this to be something that's enjoyable, and a celebration of Black joy and Black lives and Black kids. And that feels kid-like to me. That feels like what WD and Keegan experience, and that's what we want to create tomorrow. And we also want to foster that sense of community. And that, I think, is something that we want our children to be a part of, because they are part of the community and they are impacted by the community. So we should bring them into the fold with us.
What do you think, Aaliyah?
Okay, so I have a lot of thoughts as well. and I'm going to second everything that Kristen and Melody just said. As a parent, I think we need to let go of the fiction that we can protect our kids from everything, whether you're white or Black or whoever. That's incorrect. And like the Leave It to Beaver thing, like that can't happen, right? It just can't. And I will say, I will ask kids to petitions and do whatever it is that they want to move this forward. So a lot of the kids want to participate. Not at this forum, right? But there are older kids that I do work with who are all about getting more involved. But event tomorrow, we're coloring signs and drumming and reading. So it's very kid accessible. And it is all about meeting the kids where they are, but being real about it and truthful and honest.
Okay, Nicolette?
Yes. First, I have to mention you're hearing 4 perspectives of this group. I want to mention the other 4 ladies who have worked tirelessly with us side by side: Stacy Phillips, Jen Luisi, Sarah Doyd, and Diana Guerin. We're all working right now. They're probably doing posters as we speak. This is for our kids. Our kids know it. From the moment they're little and you take them into a store, and if it's a girl, you're looking for the princess dolls, well, the dolls are all white. If it's a boy and you're looking for a superhero, the superheroes are all white. So where is the platform for the African princess, the Asian princess, the Indian princess? Where is the platform for our Black superheroes? Right, we're creating this tomorrow, so this is a platform where they get to see those. right? So from at 1 year old and we go into a store, you know, they're bombarded with what the image has been presented of what a princess, what a superhero is, right? So, I mean, I have two boys, I had to buy the Superman, the Iron Man, the Thor, they're all white, right? So when did we get a superhero that looked like us? We finally got Black Panther, right? But did all the white households have to buy a Black Panther? No, they did not. The kids know. They see the media. They see it. They know it. It's up to us as parents to guide and direct them and show them the right way, a community way, an inclusive way. Everybody is accepted and everybody is acknowledged because we do exist. We are here. The protests, the rallies, me speaking out to a superintendent is to say we are here. We are not being acknowledged. We are not being accepted. We're not being respected. And we are going to demand it. And we are going to get it, no matter how long it takes.
Well, in our closing minutes, maybe a minute apiece, I'll just ask all four of our guests, Nicolette, Kristen, Aaliyah, and Melody, who have helped organize the Black Kids Matter rally that is tomorrow from 10 to noon at Harris Whalen Park. Just for what you hope kids will take out of this event tomorrow, when you think about your kids and kids of various ages, especially 12 and younger, Nicolette, what are they going to leave that rally feeling and thinking? What are you hoping that they take from it tomorrow if they attend? Because we're going to have listeners who are listening right now and thinking, do I go? Should I take my kids? What do you hope that they will take from it?
Well, first and foremost, you know, I want to say that we are in the midst of a pandemic, so we really want to create a family-friendly, socially distant event. Masks are going to be required, and we ask that people really respect the six-foot rule as we try to uplift and amplify the voices of Black lives. I really want, you know, the kids that come and the parents, as we will have petitions and letters that they can send out to their superintendents and their school board committees, that this is a barbecue, right? Just like my son said, you know, we're all humans. We all feel, we all hurt, and we need to come together and support a community that's being murdered in the streets, in broad daylight, and recorded for all the world to see. We need to come together and stand in unity.
Aaliyah, go ahead. What do you hope people will experience and take from it, especially kids, tomorrow?
One of the bigger things is that, or realizations, I hope, is that that they realize that we're all connected. And what somebody does in one place propagates to another place, and we are a community, and everybody in this community does care, or most of us.
Okay. By the way, do you feel that way? Do you feel that most white people care
about what specifically Black Lives Matter?
Yeah.
I unfortunately don't have WD's outlook, and so I don't know. I don't have the numbers to back it up. I would say that a good proportion of people either don't care or don't understand the Black Lives Matter movement, and when we say the Black Lives Matter, we're not saying that we're better or more important. We just want to be not hauled down in the street or gunned down in the street. So I think that concept and that understanding is missing for some people in our community. But I do believe that a lot of us do care and do get it and do want better for all of us.
Okay. Melody, what do you hope kids and people who show up tomorrow take from the rally?
I hope there's a sense of empowerment. I hope that, you know, families and parents feel empowered to have some conversations with their kids and kind of walk the walk for them. I hope that Black kids feel empowered to be who they are and to feel good about themselves. I hope that White kids feel empowered to stand up for their friends and to be good people and be allies. And I want this to be a positive event. I want people to come away feeling good and feel like WD and Keegan did, that that we're a community and that we support each other and we love each other and you stand up for each other.
And Kristen, what do you think?
Wow, what's left to say? These guys are amazing, right? Like, do you see why I want to be in a group with them? our whole thought process behind this was about showing Black joy, giving hope, and being there, right? Because so many people in our community, Black and Brown kids, are not feeling so hopeful right now. And it's we're sending a message, right? Like, we're here. We care about you. We want to make something different. And make no mistake, like, we're not just doing this rally and it's all done and we wash our hands, right? So our group will keep going. We've made amazing connections with other suburban groups. And so I feel like this is just the tip of the iceberg for us. We have a lot of work to do, but we're all committed and we're welcoming anyone else in the community that wants to join in with us.
Harris Wayland Park, by the way, is off 441, near 441 and 250, which is Fairport 9 Mile Point Road. If you want to attend tomorrow, 10 to noon is the event. Black Kids Matter is the rally. And I want to thank all of our guests. Nicolette, thanks for sharing your time and WD's time as well. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Kristen, thanks to you and Keegan. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Aaliyah, thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks, and come through tomorrow.
And Melody, thank you very much for being with us this hour.
Thank you. We hope to see everyone there tomorrow.
Just a remarkable group of people helping us close the week. Not always easy this week. We know a lot of pain this week. I hope you can find a measure of peace, maybe some determination, whatever that means in your life. And we'll be back with you on Monday on Member Supported Public Radio.